Thanks for coming. All right, there. Come on, settle down. all right, so let's. Today is exciting. Git and GitHub. So, I guess some basics. So, Git is this basically a version control system is what would be called, I guess. So previous, like, there were, are these former generations of version control systems, like CVS is one, and Subversion is another, and GitHub is sort of continuing on that tradition of like inventing a new one every couple of decades. It has some things to recommend it. It is also sort of notorious for being like difficult to use and having like really opaque documentation. And I think, and partly like it was developed by this really advanced community of like hackers who like sort of think that having something that's not really friendly and usable is like almost a feature, not a bug. So like if it seems like it's like intentionally designed to be difficult to use, then it's not entirely false. Which is all to say, just like don't be discouraged if things seem like too complicated, or like why is that the name of the command, or whatever. This is like a kind of known problem, and yet it's very popular, partly because it's just really powerful. So basically, what does it let you do? So if you think about, you know, imagine, so consider Dropbox, right? When you connect up a Dropbox account, you have a little folder on your local computer, like /Dropbox or whatever. And if you make changes to files in that directory, they get sent to Dropbox. And then if you have that like checked out on different machines, it gets sort of copied between them and updated. Git lets you do that, except deciding when you want to make those changes. And also, you can give like names or tags to all of the changes you make so that you can say, you can, you know, if you're developing a piece of code, say you're working on something for your research, you can say, this is a time, like this is the version I was at when I made that plot for the presentation or whatever, or this is the version that's in the paper, or this one works. And then you go and, you know, make some changes and you mess something up and you're like, oh, I need to get back to the one, something that works. You can go back to the tag that was like when it worked. So that's sort of like one way of thinking of it, is a way of keeping a history of something you're working on, and being able to decide when and how you're going to like share that or move it between computers. So that's sort of like why, what it's for. And so the combination of, Git is this command line program. And then GitHub is a website and a service that provides basically hosting for Git documents or repositories. And it sort of, GitHub adds enough value, like it provides a nice enough user interface that it actually picked up like a ton of the, like a ton of the business of hosting these things. And so like the vast majority of open source software projects live on GitHub. And then basically their business model is that if you have your stuff publicly, like if your thing is public, like anybody can see it, then it's free. And if you want it to be private, then you have to pay for it. So their business model basically goes, capture the entire community of software developers. And then if you're a startup or something, basically you're almost forced to use GitHub because that's what your developers know. So then that's how they kind of make their money. So that's, you know, neither here nor there, but it's sometimes like interesting to know what the business model is, because then you know like whether you're the customer or the product. So in this case, you're sort of like, for the private ones, you're the customer. For the public ones, you're sort of the product. It's sort of like market capture or something. OK, so So I hope that you are all able to create GitHub accounts. I should say there, partly because GitHub was recently purchased by Microsoft, there was something of a push in some parts of the community to move away from GitHub. So there are other like kind of hosting services for it. But I think none have really like risen to any prominence so far as I can tell. It's possible it will happen. Okay, so let's start. The question is, we've been having some trouble with symmetry lately, so, and we're going to be doing like a big reboot on Thursday, so I don't actually know if people can log into symmetry right now. So can you please try, like with the Jupyter Hub or via SSH, to log into Symmetry and let me know if you're successful or not successful. And if you're not, success? Okay, good. So I believe SSH keys work, and I think if you have to type in a password, it probably will not work, I think is the current status, which is deeply frustrating for me and many others.
That happened to me. If I tried to link my password, it doesn't work, but if I'm on Jupyter, it works because I didn't have to provide passwords.
Okay, interesting. So Jupyter Hub worked. It works. Okay.
I did SSH and that worked.
Okay, yeah. Cool. Okay, so Jupyter is working. Okay, good. Okay, so all right, so hopefully we're good. I believe the Macs come with Git installed already, but I could be wrong. Maybe not. It's possible. Regardless of where you are, outline. I want to show you how to create a Git repository for, like, if you are, say, working on a research project or something. How to connect that to GitHub, and then how to work on it with a friend or collaborator or whatever. And then finally, how to contribute to an open source project or like a kind of larger, more established project, because they usually have a pretty like slightly more formal workflows for how things get done. So that's sort of the things I wanted to show you today. Or I'll start doing that today, and then we'll run out of time, and then we'll continue on Wednesday. So I'm kind of pausing because we can either start from the... Let's go the easier way, which is, so go on over to github.com and log in if you haven't already. And then I want to find, I don't want dashboard. I want, sorry, I don't actually. So if you go to github.com/your username, you'll get like your profile page. And I want to go to repositories. So a repository in Git, in the Git world, is like a project, or it's sort of like a set of files that you're going to track versions in together. So create a new project, and it'll say create a new repository, and it's looking for a name. they give you a little like example names. I'm just going to take that. So this is called Crispy Guide. I don't know if I like that one. I'm going to get Laughing Meme. That's better. So my repository is called Laughing Meme. Yep. and then down at the bottom, I'm going to go yes for initialize this repository with a README. Ignore this stuff. Add a license. Sure, why not? BSD3 clause. Software should be licensed. Okay, so I'm going to create a repository. And then it gives you this sort of page, right? So you've probably, if you've looked around other people's code, you've probably encountered pages like this that let you browse a repository. And you know, normally you would, okay, we'll spend some time. I'm going to give this a description. This is an example repository for computational physics. Perimeter 2020. Okay, and then so now let's actually do some start using this. I'm gonna write a paper something for okay, so good. So under this, there's this clone or download button. You can either go, so it gives you the option clone with HTTPS or use SSH. The use SSH option is nicer because you can set it up so you never have to type passwords, which is a real pain. But it does take a little setup, so I'm just going to instead use HTTPS right now. But I will, I can show you how to do the SSH setup later. Okay, so then, so copy that URL, and then either on Symmetry or wherever you're working today, in your shell, type git clone and then that address. So git clone says make a copy of that. Okay, so that's just there.
Ah, you did not click initialize movie.
Ah, okay. Okay, I'm gonna pause there and see what wait for.
Yeah, you lost that.
Yeah, okay.
Yes.
Should we be doing this on our computer or on Jupyter?
Okay, right. I forgot on Jupyter.
Oops. You can add a license if you want.
Either way. So if you're sorry. So if you're on Jupyter, if you go under new and go down to terminal, you can get a new shell and work there. Wow, it's so slow. Oh, brutal. Okay. For reasons I don't understand entirely, it drops you into /home instead of your home directory. It's not great. So if you go cd, you'll go back to your home directory, and then you can type, you know, git clone, and then the repository name. Okay, so what can we do? So I'm gonna stop for 1 second. So Git is called a distributed version control system, which means in theory, there are different copies of the repository around, like different computers have copies of it. And none of them is sort of like canonical or like the repository. It's just like everybody has a copy of it and you can move changes between them. Which like sounds really great, except in practice, it's actually really convenient to have one place where you keep stuff. So that's what GitHub basically provides. So there's this, you know, like very fancy distributed control system, and then we just make it centralized again. Basically, when you're using GitHub, the version on GitHub you can think of as like the canonical copy. But in principle, under the hood, there's nothing special about their copy. But it, you know, it's just kind of, it's actually convenient to have a key place where you store things. All right, so when I cloned it, that actually pulls down the entire history and all versions of everything. So I have a full copy of the thing on my computer now. There's not much to it because it only has two files that I created it a minute ago. But you know, large projects will have these vast histories, and everybody has a copy of it. Okay, so when you clone it, it checks it out into a new directory. So I'm going to go into mine. Oh boy, that is so slow. So I'm in my laughing meme directory, and it's got my two files. So I'm going to start writing I'm not going to write a paper. I'm not going to write a code. I'm going to write a list of pets, because I don't know. I need an example, and it's just, I'm going to be just a little silly. So I'm going to create a file called pets. Yeah.
So if you use GitHub for the first time, and if you use SSH to download the repository, did you get asked for a password?
I see. Which I don't.
Sorry, what?
Louis is not getting asked for a password. It's not downloading the repository. So I wonder what the reason could be.
I did just set. Sorry. It's possible SSH config is set up so that it doesn't ask for passwords, like only PubKey authentication, or I don't know. I would use, for now, it's just easier to use HTTPS.
For download?
Yeah, to git clone it, and then it will.
Sorry, Louis, do you want to do that?
What's the difference between SSH and
Yeah, so if you, I'll show you in just a second. But basically there's, you know how it gives you the option to clone with HTTPS or SSH? It's basically just like SSH, you use a key to log in, like a secure key, which is a file on your computer. It just takes a little setup to actually generate that file and then connect it to GitHub. But then basically when you have that, as long as you have that file, you can log in without a password. Whereas HTTPS will ask you for a password every time you try to make changes to the version on GitHub. So it means that it's kind of it's a little bit more of a pain because you have to type your password a lot. But it doesn't really require any extra setup. So. Okay. So I'm gonna start creating my list of my list of pets. I don't know why I have pets that are good: cats, dogs, goldfish. Pardon? Yeah, sure. I use this simple editor called Nano. So Nano, and then the name of the file name. The name of the file. So if you like VI or Emacs or something, go ahead and use that. If you Nano is kind of nice and or simple. Okay. So hopefully, I think we have eventually some lists of pets. So I'm going to actually go and add that to my project. Add that file to my project and push it up to GitHub. A useful command is git status. It tells you what the status of your current, of the repository you're currently working on is. There's a bunch of stuff. On branch master, your branch is up to date with origin/master. So here's one part, untracked files. So this is files that are in your current directory that are not being managed by Git. So by default, it doesn't. If you know you're in, you might think, I created a repository or like a directory for Git. It's going to manage all the files in there. Nope, it's only going to manage the ones that you tell it to keep track of. So right now, it's saying Git status is saying, you have these untracked files, and you can use Git add file name to include in what will be committed. Okay, so so we can go Git add pets.txt.
If we do dash and R, what's different to your one? Is that that's when everything gets messed up?
Yep. Why? What does yours have?
What?
What does yours have?
Oh, I write different sizes of random stuff.
Oh yeah, no, it's fine. If you have different pets, that's fine. Lions and groundhogs are totally fine pets. Okay, so it doesn't seem to have done anything, and. If we hit reload on the version on GitHub, it still looks the same, right? I thought our pets were supposed to be there. We've told it that we want to track that file, but we haven't actually told it to like sync the files up to GitHub. So I think what happens if we ask for Git status now? Okay, so now it's saying, what is it saying? Changes to be committed, blah blah blah, new file, pets.txt. Okay. So
does that mean ours are no longer up to date now?
Well, I mean, it still says it's. Sorry, say again.
I said Git status, it's still saying mine is up to date, but clearly it isn't because mine is different to yours.
Yeah. Well. Okay. So ours are completely independent. Have nothing to do with each other. Like you're all creating totally separate repositories that are unrelated. Yeah, and indeed it says, yeah, you're up to date. You're like, no, you're not. It has very peculiar ideas for what it means to be up to date. So I'm sure there are deep reasons that made sense to the designers, but to those of us who just want to use the thing to do stuff, it doesn't always make sense. So so I've added that. Now, the thing is, if you actually want to like stamp a version or like save a version of it, you actually just you have to tell Git to do that. So the command is git commit, and if you do that, it will open up an editor, because for every change, we want a description of what this change is. So I've just added, and it tells you. It's going to drop anything, any line that starts with the hash lines, because that's like a comment. So it's saying, write a commit message. So I'm committing a version right now, like I'm, committing this to the history. And it says, write a message. So normally, depending on the project, the commit messages will be like, a beautiful paragraph that describes in loving detail what was changed, or it'll be like, ugh, stupid bug, or swear words. So I'm going to go somewhere in between those things and say, create list of good pets, and then control X to save it, save modified buffered, and then just and enter to just accept whatever file name it was using. Okay, and now, gives us this little thing, one file changed, four insertions, create mode, blah, blah, blah. And I think now if we go git status, it'll say, finally it says, your branch is ahead of origin/master. Origin/master means like where you checked it out of, which in this case means GitHub. So it says, your branch is ahead of GitHub by one commit. Use git push to publish your local commits. And then it said, blah, 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 nothing to commit, working tree clean, which means we haven't made any additional changes since that last commit. Okay, so finally, I keep saying finally. But it's not. Nothing seems to be final yet. can go git push to actually send your changes up to GitHub. So it's now going to ask for my username and password. And then it does, you know, a bunch of gibberish sending stuff. And then if we hop over to the GitHub webpage and hit reload, we'll finally have our list of pets. Sorry, to what? I did git push. Is that what you mean? Yeah, sorry. It's hard. I forget that it gets buried in the.
So that doesn't require any URL or something?
That doesn't, because you're. Yes, exactly. So in detail, there's a little in this, when you check out a repository, it creates, there's a little file called, or a whole directory called .git, which is normally hidden. And there's a little config file that says like what upstream is, like what the origin of it is. You don't normally need to touch or deal with that in any way. Oh, when you did a git, when you did a git commit, did it tell you like you haven't set your email or your username?
No.
Stuff like that? No? Didn't complain about
it? Saying it won't let me push it because it says I don't have access to your laughing meme.
Oh, you checked out. Oh, okay. Did you?
I thought you had a secret sauce that I wasn't aware of.
Okay. I see where we. Okay, yeah. I apologize. I misunderstood your situation. Okay, I thought we. I wanted you to create your own repository and then check it out, not check out mine. So the.
Created my own, but then I checked out yours.
Okay, all right, cool, cool, cool.
I got half right.
That's fine. Okay. Do you want. Can you repeat whatever what you just did with checking out your own? Okay. So the things I said that were wrong to you, yes, indeed, ours are connected. And yeah, so I could add you as a collaborator and then you could, we'll get there.
Okay.
So this is all great. It seems like a lot of work to to make a change and push it up to a website. It seems like a lot more work than Dropbox. So one nice advantage of like Git and GitHub and stuff as opposed to like Dropbox is they can actually deal with changes within files and merge them in sensible ways. I'm thinking about what the best like example of that is. Yo.
How do you push your project?
I'll try to get there. It's a little bit complicated. I think if we click on our list of pets, so one of the nice features of GitHub is that it gives you, if it understands that, like if it's just a text file, it gives you, there's an editor within GitHub that you can use, right? So I'm going to make a change on GitHub. What I did there was I opened up my pets file in GitHub, and then there's this little pencil icon in the top to edit that file. So go ahead and do that, and try adding add a couple at the end, maybe. Buffaloes and rabbits are both good pets. Yep. And then down at the bottom, it again is going to ask you for a message describing your changes. And I'm just going to give a short one being like, I thought of more pets. And then yada, 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 commit directly on the master branch. Oop. OK, so that's all. All right, so I've made a change to the version on GitHub. But then in my local directory, in my local copy on Symmetry, I still have the old version I had, right? So, and then, oh yeah, look, it even says, on branch master, your branch is up to date with origin master. Oh, it isn't. Super isn't. So I guess one takeaway is don't believe that. But then I'm going to make some more changes to this file. I'm going to change my, so remember, we've made a change to the GitHub version. I'm going to make a change to my local version as well. Okay, so on the version that I, on my checked out version, I'm going to also make a change to that file. Now, Git is somewhat smart about merging changes, but not if you make its life too difficult. So instead of adding to the bottom, let's add to the top in our local version. So I'm going to add to the top of the file a couple of more pets that I thought of. I woke up in the middle of the night and be like, oh yeah, tardigrade is a really good pet, very tough. So I'm going to save that. And now, oh, whoops, I want to go Git status. And it should tell me, still thinks I'm up to date, I'm not. But I've modified my pets.txt. I'm going to commit my change. So I'm going to type git commit. And then,
so do I need to add first, or can I just git commit?
Yes, you can add, but you don't have to. You can. So when you say git commit, by default it doesn't commit. I think it doesn't commit anything unless you tell it like which files to commit. So you can either go git commit and the file name. So I'd like to commit my changes to that file. You can also go commit minus a, which commits everything, like all, I guess it's all files. So I often will do that. And then if I do this, it'll open up my editor to write a comment. Often if I don't want to do that, so sorry, if you go, when it opens up the editor to ask for a comment, if you just exit your editor without making a comment, it will just abort the, like, stop doing the commit. So if you like change your mind, you're like, no, I'm not done yet. I need to add three more pets first, and then I'll commit it. You can just exit out of the editor and it's fine. If you don't want it to like start up an editor and all of that, and you just want to write a short one, you can go minus M give your message as an extra command line. And you probably want it to be multiple words, so start it, like wrap it with quotes. So I'm going to go git commit everything, and my commit message is going to be like a really tough pet. Okay.
So what does git add actually do? Is it the middle step between committing?
Yeah, basically.
You want to commit later, and then you commit all of the ones you execute. If I go with, let's say that I did changes in three different files,
uh-huh.
And I added two of them and not one.
Yes.
So I did commit. Which
uh-huh.
ones am I committing? The ones.
I think just the ones that are added. I guess we could test that. But I believe it is just the ones you've added.
Even if I go with. Git commit A.
If you do minus A, it'll look for all of the files in the current directory
okay.
that you've added previously. Like so, sorry. So it'll do all changes to any file that it's tracking.
Okay.
Right.
So
it won't start new.
That I haven't added locally.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh.
Okay. So All right, so a couple of things. So we at any point you can do git log, and that will tell you, it'll give you a log of all of the changes that you currently have. And I guess from oldest up to newest. So this is sometimes why it's nice to write yourself good messages, because like these are not really super useful ones, really tough pet. Like that's not a super great message if I'm coming back in a year to be like, oh, when did I add So it often pays to write yourself good messages. They only have to make sense to you. Okay, so we've made that commit on our local version, but it's still not on GitHub. And we also made a change on the GitHub version. So now I think if I try to go git push, I think it's going to fail. Asking for my username and password. Okay, so this is going to fail. And like the error messages are horrible, right? The error messages, failed to push some refs to blah. Updates were rejected because the remote contains work that you do not have locally. This is usually caused by another repository pushing to the same ref. Ref? What is a ref? It's not exactly a repository, but again, it's like, I'm sure it made sense. Or they just thought it would make them very tough if it was more difficult for anybody else to learn this. So you may want to first integrate the remote changes, e.g. git pull before pushing again. And then like a bunch of another like note about more confusing things. Okay, so the long and the short of it is upstream has a change that we don't have. So what we need to do is like merge those two changes. Our local version is committed, remember, so we can always get back to that, which I haven't shown you yet, but I will. Actually the hint does actually help. So git pull. So remember we did git push to push things uphill, and then git pull pulls changes from GitHub down to your local machine or Symmetry or wherever you're working. And it opened an editor. What? and the reason is there. This is what it's done is pulled in those changes. Notice that we've both made changes and merged in the changes. And now it's asking you to write a comment for that merge operation. It just says the message at the default it starts you off with is merge branch blah blah blah. And that's fine. I'm just going to leave that as it is. So I'm going to just exit my editor. And none of this is in red, so so I'm fairly happy. It's really, it looks very dense, but auto merging pets.txt merge made by blah, blah, blah. Let's see what happened. It's funny because if you write cat, and a cat is the. But look, so it's got my tardigrade, my original cat, dog, goldfish, and also the changes from uphill. So. Remember, I made changes locally, I made changes on GitHub, and then this pull operation did this merge of those two changes. Which is like, doesn't look super impressive when it's a list of six pets. But if you have different people working on a big code base and they're making changes to different parts of files and you don't want to lose all of those changes, it's super handy. And that's sort of the part of the power. Previous generations of version control systems really had trouble with these merge operations. And then, so that meant that merging was like a big deal. So you'd have people like working on parallel versions for a long time and then doing like booking a week to do the merge. But in Git, the merges are kind of cheap and fast, and they usually work. Yeah, if they're like conflicts.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's so I did partly cheat here, right? We said, let's add one to the beginning. And I did that because I knew it would fail if we tried to add it to the end.
Okay.
Let's do that now.
It fails to merge. It doesn't let you, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, okay, that's good.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it is sort of. So, and they're like, I don't know exactly what, like what the edge case is, like exactly how much, but it, you know, basically, it seems to be more or less that like, if you have a couple of lines in between, then it'll handle the merges fine. If you're making changes to the same lines, then it will fail. But it fails in an actually reasonable way. So, so let's try that just to like see what happens, because it's sort of not a big deal, but it really looks like a big deal when you look at it, because the error messages or like the error messages sort of suck. Okay, so should we do this or should we get collaborative?
It's not updated from GitHub. Should we just get push or something like that?
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah, good. So right, we did that merge and we have our changes and upstream changes on our local machine, but we still haven't pushed that merge back up to GitHub. Right, good. Okay, so and again, that seems sort of pointless. Like, we just did a merge; it's not a big deal. But sometimes those merges actually do take some work and some effort. So then, that merge was actually like a decision that you have to sort of push back upstream. Okay, so now if I hit reload, I should have. So I have my latest, greatest list of pets. So let's intentionally make a conflict. So let's add to the end of both lists a couple of more pets. So I'm going to use the GitHub editor again to add, you know, frog and snake. And scroll down and commit my changes. Reptiles and amphibians are good pets too. My daughter believes that. And then on my local version, I'm going to go nano pets.txt and add to the end. Gerbil and hamster. And then I'm going to git commit everything with the message. What are those guys called?
Rodents.
Rodents, yeah, rodents are good pets.
The last comment that you did is git push, right?
After doing the merge.
Oh, so you did the merge first.
Yeah, so like with the, you mean where we added some to the beginning and some to the end?
Yes.
Yeah, that's right. So when I made my local changes, I made my changes, did a git commit, and then I tried to do a push and that didn't work because there were upstream changes. So then I had to do a git pull and that did the merge. And then that I did a git push to like send that merge upstream. Yeah, so. okay. So I've now like intentionally made a conflict. So I've made changes to the ends of both of these files. And now I'm going to try to do. So I'm going to do a git push, and it's going to ask me for my username again, yada, yada, yada. And it's going to give me this complaint again, right? It's going to say, yeah, I failed to push some refs. and say, oh, okay, that's fine. I know what happened. I made some changes somewhere else. I'm going to git pull. And then now it's going to, oh, there's still no red, but if we look in here, it says conflict, merge conflict in pets.txt. And on my average day, when I see that, I'm like, oh. Usually things merge cleanly. When they don't, sometimes you're in, you know that it's the beginning of an hour of pain. So and then, you know, it's like helpfully saying, automatic merge failed, fix conflicts, and then commit the result. So it basically says, I don't know how to do it, you fix it. Okay, so what, and you're like, how, what do you mean? What do I do now? So now if you open up, so okay, let's look at the git status for a second. And it says something like, your branches and blah and upstream have diverged and have one and one different commits each. Here's a useful one. You can git merge minus minus abort to abort the merge, to just be like, I'm not going to fix it. I don't know what's wrong. I'm going to go back to something else. I'm not going to try to merge these conflicting changes. But there's also this unmerged paths, where like this is basically your like still to fix list. So I'm going to open up that file in my editor. And here's what it's showing me. So, need my hockey stick. So it goes normal, 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 and then there's these carrots or whatever, less than files, head, some stuff, and then equals equals, and then some more stuff, and then some of the close, the greater than signs. And this is saying, let's see, head, I guess, is the local one, and it's saying you made these changes, and then upstream made these changes. And now basically it's, when this happens, it's your job to like decide what to do with these changes. So if you're working on a piece of code, it'll be like, you know, I wanted to initialize something to 17, and you wanted to initialize it to 43, and then you know, sort of have to decide what to do. Or you added 300 lines of code, and I added a different 300 lines of code, and then you want to, I don't know, keep both of them, or keep my version, or keep your version, or whatever. So basically, you just you decide what to keep or how to merge these two things together. Here it doesn't really matter. It's just, I'm just going to remove those things and just, you know, append the two sets of changes in some order. Doesn't matter. And save it and go on with my life. So now what does git status say? It says the same thing, right? We've made some changes to the file, but so what we have to do is tell git, what is it? Git add pets.txt to say, I'm done merging those conflicts. And then you can finally go git commit to actually like complete that merge. All right, so the git add says I'm done. I've fixed that file. Sometimes if you do a big merge, like you'll end up with 10 files in conflict, and then you sort of have to just go through each one in turn and git add it. Okay, and then eventually, so once you actually do the git commit, it'll give you a slightly more complicated thing where it says, oh yeah, you did this merge branch, and then there are these conflicts. That message is fine, I'm just going to keep it. So I'm going to Control X to exit, and that's done. And now if I look in the Git log, I will have my commit message from upstream, my commit message locally, and then this commit message about how I merged those two changes together.
What was the last comment now after commit?
I should write on the board, shouldn't I? So this was let me show my history was after I did the merge, I did a git add. And then I git commit to save that merge. And then here I was just looking in my git log.
The dash A after commit, that's just saving you doing the add, is it?
Here? That's everything, or like all files that have changed.
Okay. And what's the M?
For the message, like the commit message.
After git log? After git log, what did you do?
Nothing so far, so I... let's see.
All of this.
Okay, yeah, sorry. So I did, so I did the git pull, and that brought in the upstream changes, and there was some conflict. And then I edited that file to fix the conflicts, and did a git add to add in that change, and then a git commit to like commit the merge. Okay.
You did git log, right?
And then just git log. I just did that to look at. It's not part of the process necessarily. I just wanted to see what was going on. And then so I'm just going to complete this part by doing a git push.
When you do git log and it says end, how'd you get out of it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Right. All these things we forget to... When you do git log, it brings it up in a pager. It's in less, so you can scroll through it or go. You can, but Q is the short answer. Quit out of that.
Oh yeah, that was my push.
Ah, okay, sorry. Yeah, sorry. One forgets these things. From git log, Q. Just the letter Q. Yeah, sorry. Yep. It runs it in less, I think.
He said Q, and then he's saying thank you.
Oh my god. Such a bad pun.
I can't say what I learned. He wants to say thank you.
So bad.
It's a god for this long.
How'd you get, you know when you got the summary of all the your commands, how'd you do that on terminal?
History. So that's a bash thing, maybe a shell thing.
That's cool. Yeah.
When I'm keeping notes for myself of like, oh, how did I do that? Or like, what was that? If I want to like record it for later, I'll end up just copying and pasting those.
Cool, thank you.
So I think what I want to do now is get collaborative. So now you're, you have this amazing list of pets, you're going to work on it with a friend who is also a pet enthusiast. And together you're going to come up with the ultimate list of pets. This example's a little contrived, I'm just going to get you to, you and like, whatever, you know, you can sort yourselves into like groups of people, two or three-ish. And pick one of your repositories to be the one you're going to work on. For now, the other will leave the other person or people's repositories aside. So one of you is going to be like the one that has the like great list of pets that you're going to improve. Okay, and so so as Anna discovered, if you're, so I think when you created your repositories, they're probably all public. So if somebody knows your GitHub, you know, username, they can browse your list of repositories and check out your and like clone your repository, look at it, and see your amazing list of pets and your Git history and everything. But if they try to make changes and push to it, they'll get denied, permission denied for that. You can add them as a collaborator, and then they have, you can give them like a bunch of rights. It's usually like on most of my projects, I just, if I'm collaborating with somebody, I just give them full rights so they can make whatever changes they want. Most of the history is like you have to sort of work to mess up the history. So kind of the worst thing that can happen is not really that bad. So it's normally kind of easiest to just give collaborators full rights. So the way you do that is go to, let's see if I can remember it. So in GitHub, if you go to the this page, yeah, the, so if you click on, so sorry, if you were looking at your list of pets, if you go here up to the repository name, which is also available at the URL, like github.com/your username/your repository name. Under settings, there is a bunch of stuff, but the second item here is collaborators. And it will often ask you to re-log in because this is a sort of powerful thing. And then you will need to know the GitHub ID of the person you're going to collaborate with. Should we?
ESCHNETT.
So I'm going to add, Eric is going to work, Eric is going to help me with my amazing list of pets. There you are. And I'm going to add him as a collaborator. And I believe that that will send him an email. And he'll have to accept that collaboration request or invitation or whatever. So if you could, pair up or group up and do that, send your new collaborators an invitation to collaborate on one of your repositories.
What do you say? Hey.
You want to collaborate through it?
Okay, I can add you.
What's your name?
Yeah.
Y-I.
Did you get anything?
I think my someone said.
Still checking.
Right.
Oh, I need to accept it. Okay.
Yeah, I think it'll send you an email, right? And then you.
Yes, what, I got an email. I need to accept.
And then you have to like click into the, it'll click you and bring you into the GitHub site, and you'll have to like accept or decline the invitation.
No, I was supposed to.
I'm changing it.
He asked if you could change
the
password
this week.
You
don't
have to
read
my
passwords.
I do.
I'm just asking
me
to reset the
password.
Please reset. Password is being easily cancelled. Yeah, can you guess it?
We are like two.
Look at that.
I added a file.
Oh, okay. So, all right. So, actually, I should have done it the other way around because I should be looking at.
Oh,
okay, good. Okay, excellent. I'm going to.
My mailbox is like.
See, my
greatest.
I took
her
into different stuff. Anna, it's great.
2 days.
Truth. You'll remember us today.
Oh, exciting news, everyone. Eric Schnetter has invited me to collaborate on the Silver Engine repository. Okay. All right, so I'm good.
Silver Engine is so cool. I should have made that a real project.
You're going to have to do it now. And in the Git history will be a list of pets. It's amazing. I think I will accept that invitation since All right, and it says, okay, so it says, all right, I now have push access to that repository, which means I have all the power. Okay, I'm going to copy that URL and take it over to my other browser because you don't need to see my 100 tabs. Okay, so...
you can add that onto your...
So now I'm looking at... Eric's repository. He has, I'm going to look at his list of pets first things first. Oh, well, that's not. I mean, I have to say I'm a little disappointed. Okay. So the first thing I'm going to do is do a clone or download. So. I'm going to clone Eric's repository. So I'm going to change, like I'm currently in my own Laughing Memes repository, so I'm going to get out of that. I'm just going to cd back into my home directory and then git clone the URL of Eric's repository. So now I've got a copy of Eric's, of the Silver Engine.
You can change it. You can
and
name my dog.
And then basically, like, there's at this point, we can both make changes to the repository. So there's nothing, you know, there's nothing particularly special about the fact that it belongs to him. I have push access, so I can make changes. I can add some more pets to his list because honestly, it's embarrassing. You have small children, so Tyrannosaurus rexes would be a good. Tyrannosaurus. I don't know what I spelled there, but let's not think about it. Tyrannosaurus.
Yeah.
How do you spell Tyrannosaurus?
T-Rex. Your kids call it these days, Dustin.
Okay, good. All right, good. Thank you.
Dash.
T-Rex, like that? Okay. I'm learning all sorts of things today.
You know how much Jurassic Park? T-Rex.
And Velociraptor. Yeah. And what are the flying ones?
Pterodactyl.
I'm not going to try to spell it. Okay, let's just leave it at T-Rex and Velociraptor. Okay.
Triceratops.
Yeah, Triceratops. Oh, okay. I'm gonna commit my dinos are cool. And then I'm going to go, oh yeah, Stegosaurus. Or what was the one you said? Triceratops. I need to add that.
Yeah.
I have pushed them in.
Triceratops. I can't type today. Okay, and now I want to add that to my old commit. Right? I could just commit it on top, right? Add more dinos, but I want to have like a really beautiful history and pretend that I thought of all the dinosaurs at once. So I'm going to go get. Whoops, git commit --- amend, which lets you make a change to your previous commit. It's like, okay, forget that one. I want to add more stuff to it. I think that's right. And we'll see if I'm okay. So it gives you a chance to edit your commit message as well, and pretend that you thought of all the dinos at once. That commit message is still legit.
Yes.
Oh, did I?
I'm just dying.
I don't think that worked.
As long as you don't push, is it?
Yeah, so if you don't push, yeah, that's right.
But you do need to do git commit.
Yeah, but it didn't.
But you didn't do that.
I messed it up because it didn't. So the git commit minus amend let me change my commit message, but it didn't add my new changes.
Do we get add?
Do I have to go git? So maybe I have to go git.
A or something with your
Okay, so maybe I have to go git add and then amend?
No.
Okay, and now if I go git, yeah, okay. So, all right, so let's pretend I intentionally made that mistake as a learning opportunity. So sorry, the things that are important are, so git, if you want to like add more things to a commit, you can go git add and then the names of the files you changed that you want to add, like the new changes that you made since the commit. And then when you go git commit minus amend, it will add those changes into the like the commit that you were working on.
So if I make changes and I do git commit and I make more changes, I shouldn't do git commit again, I should do git add, is that what you're saying?
Well, usually you would just do another git commit.
Yeah.
And then that would keep like that history of all the steps you took.
Yeah.
But sometimes you're like, oh, I just wanted to add another quick one. I don't want to like have a, you know, I don't, in my history, I don't need another entry for that.
Okay, so you have to git amend, git add, git commit.
Yeah, so just add, git add, and then git commit with the minus minus amend.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you do other changes and then git add.
Yeah, so if you make more changes, then you can go git add to add those additional changes to the commit.
But you have that conflict.
But you didn't push.
Yeah, that's right. I still haven't pushed those changes up to Eric's repository yet.
Oh, you should tell them that you should only amend before pushing. After you pushed, it's a bad idea.
Yeah, that's right. So what Eric said is, the thing you shouldn't try to do is commit, then push, then try to amend a commit, because then things just get messy. If you...
What's git diff?
Ah, yeah, okay. So git... So git diff shows you changes that you haven't yet committed.
It just came out of it.
It doesn't show you things you have committed but not pushed. But yeah, so git diff, so if I added the list of pets and add a pterodactyl.
Well, no, because then he'll create conflict and then he
And we go git diff, it'll show you what changes you've made. I probably spelled it wrong.
Fix the conflict, you go into the file.
No, it's right. So after that, I
want to and then once you commit it, not dinos, but flying reptiles are cool too. And then once you've committed it, it doesn't show up in the git diff anymore. Okay, so yeah, I mean, I guess.
I pushed.
So I think use. I'm not sure. Oh, yes.
I'd work.
And then, so you know, if you're working on a collaborative project, usually the first thing, if you're about to start editing something. It's usually a good idea to do a git pull before you start making your own changes, because then you sort of avoid making you sort of make your life easier for making conflicts. So you know, I'm going to make some changes, I'll do a git pull already up to date, which means, God, Eric didn't fix anything overnight, honestly. Some kind of collaborator. Does not care about pets. He's got a cat, a dog, and a goldfish, and he thinks everything is fine. Okay, 2:52. Should we wrap it for the day?
You can ask more questions.
Sure, yeah.
Go back to the filing. Go back to the filing.
She did ask a question.
Yeah. So that's you know, basically, that's how to work on software projects with collaborators. There's a.
It's already actually not too good.
Yeah. Well, there are a bunch more things to say, but not today. People have questions, thoughts, opinions, complaints. Awesome lists of pets.
I have office hours.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you do. Well, you're already late, right? So.
Yeah. And someone showed up, so it's quite bad.
Oh.
Interesting. Now you're
here. Are you still having office hours?
It's fine.
Well, just you can blame me.
I will. Sorry, I was making a list of pets.
Yeah. All right, so you know, you've all witnessed the illustrious beginning of the Silver Engine project. So keep an eye out on the news for that.
Actually, do get that.
Okay, and then on Wednesday, so Eric, is it when is it scheduled for Wednesday? Are we doing, is it 1:30 still?
Wednesday is 12:30 to 2, because the colloquium is at 2.
Ah, so yeah, okay. Right, good. Okay, so that's a good mnemonic that it's, we want to hit the colloquium at 2, so it's an hour and a half before that. So 12:30 Wednesday.
He's teaching again. And the idea is to combine this, what you did today, with Julia. So at the end, you have a Julia project.
Okay.
Yeah, I think so. And well, I have to think a little bit about what I want to cover, because I also wanted to look at, so this way of adding a collaborator is very common in like, you know, research groups or like people who are among scientists. For larger software projects, things are a little bit more formal and there's sort of more of a review process for most of them. So I was thinking about showing you how that usually works, but I don't know if that's relevant for us or not. So I don't know. Think about it and let me know if you care about that or not next time, and we can like either look at it or not. And then I was also going to look at, doing a Julia project and hopefully setting up automated tests for Julia project, which is also kind of fun and cool. So that's next week.
Okay.
I mean Wednesday, 12:30.
Cool. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.